Well, greetings, dear friends. It's good to see you this morning. And we greet all of you who are with us by way of the internet today. Glad to have you with us in our Sunday morning session. May the Lord bless you as we fellowship together in this way. Let me remind you that are with us by way of internet that these sessions are being brought to you through the facilities of the Midwest Center for Truth here in Arkansas, and these sessions are a ministry of CMI Bible Research Center and a production of CMI Audio Video Network System, and are brought to you through the internet or on the internet through Ustream and YouTube. So, it's good to have you with us. Now, invariably, when I have something to say, at least half of the folks that should be here with us in our local gathering are not. But I'll continue on anyway. There ought to be some way, as many systems and programs and all of the stuff that we have here, there should be some way to have all of our folks in one place at one time, you would think. But since that's not so, we'll simply continue. We're talking about living by faith, and there's not one person in this fellowship that doesn't need to be giving their whole heart and whole attention to that reality. From the ones sitting up here on this stool to the ones that are scattered out on this property this morning. Living by faith. You're either living by faith or you're living by feelings. And if you're living by feelings, feelings are of the devil. That's how Adam fell. Surely you've searched that out. Surely we understand that. You either are motivated by feelings, which are stimulated by outside conditions, stimulated by outside seeing, what you see in your natural, what you hear with your natural ear, what you feel. Where else do you think feelings come from? Feelings is the basis of the Adamic nature, the basis of carnal exercise. So we're either living by feelings, I don't care, honey, whether they're good feelings, bad feelings, big feelings, little feelings, they're not Christ. They're not Christ. They change with your surroundings. They can be calmed by changing your surroundings, changing your environment, piping a different kind of music into it. Sitting down and drinking. Yeah, hot cup of tea, or for some, a strong shot of whiskey, depending upon the individual. My point is, feelings are stimulated. They're not quickened in you by the Holy Spirit. They're stimulated. Now you need to think about this, darling, because you're either living that way or you're living by faith. One of the two. One or the two. And so when you're going to the Lord in your heart or in the scriptures or in your prayer or in your service, you're going there stimulated by, motivated by one of the two. I know what it's like to serve God by my feelings as a preacher. Young man, yes, well, still nonetheless. And trying to get everyone else to live the same way. Well, you know, they all were already living the same way. It's just the kind of feelings that they have. So you want to give them better feelings. Stimulation of feelings. Now, if you be honest, if we'll all be honest, before this day's out, something that you face will stimulate feelings. Not necessarily bad feelings, but feelings. The question is, do you live by feelings or are you living by faith? Because the two are diametrically different. We have read here, and every Sunday for a period of time, with regard to some of Paul's statements on the things that I've just talked to you about. Second Corinthians 4, verse 14. Or verse 15, actually. I don't want to get involved. We have read the whole chapter. But it should be very plain. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth. Now that cannot be Christ. It is, however, your earthen vessel in which there are senses that stimulate feelings. Whether it's your eye, what you're looking at. Great medium of feeling stimulation, whether good or bad. Hun, feelings are only dangerous if you're living by them. If that is the thing that is motivating you, directing you, governing you, in what? In anything. In absolutely anything. And Now notice what I said, governing you, because natural ears have a problem listening. And I'm talking to all of us. Somebody doesn't have to. Somebody has, and in the length of time that I, by the grace of God, have been involved in something of the knowing of Christ, I've been accused of a lot of things. And one of them is, he just has no feelings. Oh, I've got feelings all over the place. I learned years and years and years ago that even the very best feelings I had, however, was not Christ. It was just me. And you can use them for carnal ends or any ends you want to. And I'm not telling you that it's bad to have feelings. You're going to have feelings. You stick your finger in a fire, you'll get some feelings. But if I am being ruled in any situation by feelings, then I'm sitting on the throne. The Lord Jesus is certainly not. I'm simply telling you, it's not Christ. It isn't Christ. Feelings don't always stir up emotions, but many times they do. Is it wrong to have emotions? Certainly not. It's perfectly natural. But that's the point. That is the point. It is perfectly natural. It is Adamic. See, we think that everything Adamic is, you know, something mean and nasty and ugly. Not necessarily so. It's just human. And that's used as an excuse all the time. Well, brother, we're all just human. Not if you're born from above. That's the point. You can't be human and having no life but Christ at the same time. Oh, you can think human, but my point is, and I just want to show you some things this morning. I was thinking about it a good while yesterday. In fact, all day yesterday. And with you here, I've just kind of shared as the Lord would deal with me from day to day. On the monthly CDs, well, yes, we're taking it. We're talking there about faith and living by faith, but we're doing it in a systematic order. But here, I'm just talking to the Lord's body. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, now he's talking about some pretty severe persecution here. And very few of us are facing someone trying to kill us every day because we claim Christ as our life. I mean, not too many are facing that. Somebody someplace may be. But Paul's point is the same, whether it's under extreme persecution or whether it's just living day by day in this world. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, someone has taken that and said, well, that means if we're persecuted, you know, we need to be persecuted because that works glory. That isn't what this verse says. what this verse says is that when it, well, it says it in the next verse. What are you talking about? Worketh for us a exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at it. While we look not at what's going on around us, even as some of it is happening to us. While we look not, that means the word look there goes very deep. You use it in its reverse order. I mean, you use it in a reverse situation, and you can see how deep it actually goes. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, about the last verse there of that chapter, I think it is, Hebrews 9, verse 24, 25, 26, 27, and I think 28. Nonetheless, those who look for him, he shall appear. Those who look for him, he shall appear. If you look, he shall appear. Those who look for him, he shall appear without sin unto salvation. Those who look for. It actually means they're setting the gaze of our soul upon him. Setting the full attention of our heart. It goes on and on. It also means with patient waiting. It also means that it becomes the occupation. Our soul is occupied with seeing him, becomes the occupation of our soul. Paul says that is the calling unto which we are called. I mean, this word lookon brings everything to focus upon Christ. But that's only while we look not at the things which are seen, but. Here's that not but. And the not but is always not I but Christ. It always is. I don't care where you find it. Not flesh but spirit. Not night but light. Not death but life. On and on and on and on. Not I but Christ. And here it is here. While we look not. That means we exercise the same desire in not looking at the thing seen, in not having affection, an affectionate affair with the things that are seen. What things? Anything. All things. Living there as though you're not there at all, but rather in Christ. Living there. If it's a good condition, you realize you're in the middle of that good condition in a better condition. You're there in Christ. You have something to add to that condition even. You're there in what you would call a bad condition. You're there in Christ. You have something to add to that condition. But you're not trying to find your life there, and you're not. It is not affecting the inner man. That is the motivating factor of our soul. It's not motivating my soul. It is not the thing that is requiring all of my attention. My attention to it is very much without, not within. It doesn't have the attention of my heart. The things without, what you can see. And he uses that term, but it's a powerful term. While we look not. then that has to require all of the same reality of looking. Because that's what the word, it isn't about a glance. Paul says the same thing. He says the same thing. And he uses the words. And that's in Colossians. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. We've read this half a dozen. Well, we've read it hundreds of times. If ye then, and this is not a question, so it can be read, since ye then be risen with Christ. Now this is a fact. Paul's desire here is that it become the faith by which these people live. Not just a fact of what Christ has done, not even just a fact of who Christ is, not even a fact of our salvation, but the faith by which these believers would live according to the fact that if you be in Christ, you be found living as though you're in Christ. Where? Everywhere. When? Anytime. How? By faith. By faith. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek, and the word seek, it set your affection on. And this is talking about the affection of your soul, the affection of your heart. Seek those things which are above. Not off in the cloud somewhere, above as above that which is sensual, that which is earthy, that which is natural. But rather that which is not just spiritual, but eternal. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now we understand from Paul's writings, including right here, that that is not a location somewhere, but a divine relationship into which we have been brought. Look at this. Look at this. In that same book, look at this. Verse 13. Look at what he started. Look at this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness That's anything that is not the light. Which is Christ. He's not talking about night and day here. He's talking about one world over against an altogether, totally different world. in which there is no darkness, because the light of it is totally Christ. Which is why we're told by every one of the apostles in one way or another, in most every epistle in the New Testament, in one way or another, we are told to walk, if ye walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. Not because you've got the same feeling. Not because you like the same things. Not because you are the same nationality, the same color, the same sex. No, in none of that do you find anything of fellowship. Nothing. Even friendships based on that will break down and fall apart. It's earthy, and it breaks just like earthiness does break. No, it's the power of the human mind, of the human heart, of the human soul, in which Christ is not the light. But if Christ be the light in you, well, hon, there can be no darkness where Christ is the light. And I'm not talking about factual, he's the light. I'm talking about God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What do you think you're going to do in any circumstance, any situation in which you find yourself if this is an ongoing work of the Spirit, if your faith is the knowing of this, so put your any situation, any place, good one, bad one, lucrative one, one that's not so lucrative. Paul says, whether I'm filled, whether I'm empty, whether I'm this, whether I'm that, I can do all things in Christ. Why? Because I'm the same wherever you find me. I'm a man who has no life but Christ, and I'm there in Christ. But put yourself and you're standing there, and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Is filling your heart and soul. Honey, I'm not challenging you, and I may not be challenging any of you. The Lord is challenging me. So I'm not challenging you with anything that the Lord is not presently challenging me. Who hath delivered us. See, that's a time past thing that only is effective if it is an ongoing understanding of faith. It's facts. It's a real work of God. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That word power of darkness is not there just to fill up space on. There is tremendous power in darkness. The darkness. The absence of the light of life. And have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If ye then be risen with Christ, chapter 3, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Set your affection on things above. And the word affection, hun, the word affection here, let me see. I'm looking all over this page for where I wrote that down, and I don't see it, and it doesn't make that much difference. But it's not just a fleeting thought. It's like a marriage, it's like a union, but it's with Christ. It's like the joy, the love, the true desire. It's like that. The affections on things above. But you see, what it is, it's the antithesis. It is the absolute antithesis of setting your affection on things on the earth. Now, if that hadn't have been a problem, a condition existing in believers, in the Lord's body, then Paul would not have so written in this letter. And not only here, you can find it throughout this whole letter. So it's not just a matter of setting our awareness on things above. Oh, brother, I'm aware I'm in Christ. Well, you've heard that and you believe that and you've seen that in the scriptures. And in fact, if you're born from above, you are. But where's your heart? 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 Where is the heartbeat of our soul? Where is the inward man? Not where as to a location, where as to affection. In Christ, in love with the world, that won't work long. In Christ, fully occupied with things on earth, and I'm not talking about planes, trains, and automobiles. Most all of these epistles, Paul is talking about trying to find your righteousness in the law, in these rules, in these regulations, in this, in that, in this vision of religion, and you know, in your mind's natural mind's eye of religion and all of that. But I'm just talking to you today concerned, because here it is. What if we just wrote here, set your feelings on things above, not on things on earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then we would say that we're talking about not the feelings of the outward man, but the feelings, rather the affections of the heart and soul of the inward man for Jesus Christ, who is your life. What if we put it that way? I think he does put it that way. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I mean, the whole purpose of what he's saying here isn't just in some kind of theological ramifications, because it's better to think of heaven than it is to think of the earth. That has nothing to do with what he's talking about here. He's talking about, in all of this other, you are dead. Your life is in Christ and only in Christ and in nobody but Christ. Consequently, set your heart there. Set your affections there. Set the look of your soul there. You will. Because when Christ shall appear, that's the verse, next verse, when Christ, who is our life, but what? When he who is our life shall appear. Shall appear, shall be revealed, shall be revealed in you. When you see him, the rest of that verse then says, then shall ye appear in that same way, in that understanding of faith. Because this is what faith is. You will see your union with him. You will see, my Lord and my God, he is in me. He is my life. Where, yes. And where are you? Not in what situation. Not sitting on what stool behind what cedar desk. In him, in a union with him. For this reason, Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, since then he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But let me show you something about that. And I'll go to a diagram just to do it. We usually put up our square over here, and I'm still looking at this in my stuff. I'm still looking at this as what we call WORLD, the world, because it's what the Lord calls it too, that which is outside of Christ, that is made up of peoples and places and things, and where we're feeling is the rule. How do you feel about this, so-and-so? How do you feel about that? Well, sit down and tell me your feelings. How did you feel when so-and-so said that to you? We actually, I mean, there are people who have spent a lifetime in education, ho, 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 that actually think to get people involved with their own feelings is something other than just getting them involved in the midst of their own stinking self. They actually think that helps. I won't go down that line. I've already been down that line. I've already been down education on that line. Feelings. Since you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, what difference does it make? Not one feeling that you're going to have is Christ. So what difference does it make? It's going to rule you and motivate you, or Christ is going to rule you and motivate you, one way or the other, darlings. It isn't going to be... We're not talking about split personality here. Oh, I don't know, but what in the world? You may not find a whole bunch of split personalities, but that isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about one man that by this cross is dead. And yet, we want to know about his feelings. Are in Christ. I've got three pages of... I mentioned to Julie, she just come by briefly checking with me on a project that she's working on here yesterday. And I mentioned to her, I said, you know, it's impossible to diagram what we're preaching and what we're teaching in Christ. It's impossible to do it. And I said, yet we continue to try to make it work. We continue to try to do it, which is what I was sitting there doing, drawing circles and lines and everything everywhere. Just to focus our attention upon something. But the reality of it is we're in Him. And the point is, that is the fact. And I'm not making little of it when I say it's a fact. I mean, it's a fact. It's something, it's what the Lord hath done. It's where if you're born again, it's where you are. But it's only when our life shall appear that you will truly, in faith, know that. The rest of it is going to be your thoughts and your feelings concerning this fact of the Scripture. You're going to be trying to believe it. The Scriptures say so. I've heard Brother so-and-so say so, Sister so-and-so. I believe it. I believe we're in Christ. And that's not a bad thing to believe, but that's not what we're talking about here. It's not what Paul's talking about either. Because he's talking to those and saying, now since this is true, set your affection not here, but here, where Christ setteth, where Christ lives, where Christ is, where Christ appears. Since you're here, focus there. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I mean, you're not going to just go flying off of the world. Or just disappear out of some situation. No. But the point is, hon, we are here, right in the middle of it, in Him. Translated. Not off of the face of the earth, but from what is called the world, in system, in people, in place, in things, in livelihood, stuff like that. We live here in the light of Christ. Because here we are. But that is only if we look look not. Now, I don't mean with your natural eyes. That's the way you get around over here. Don't give the attention of yourself, of your soul, Paul rightfully uses the word affection. You know, I like my pickup. It serves me well. I have no affection for it. I take care of it. I work on it. I have no affection for it. I wouldn't have a problem trading it off tomorrow. But I know people that have affection for things like that. I mean, I know people who do. I mean, it's like you're dealing with one of their kids. I mean, they'll keep the thing until it rusts. While somehow in their mind, it's still worth something. I don't know. Not everybody does that, but that can happen here, and does, more often than we think, probably. But set the affection. Here's what I want to tell you this morning, because we've all heard this here in this room. Most of you probably have. We've been talking about that reality, whether it's one man and whether it's the two men, which is Adam and Christ, and that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. We're finding ourselves in our own hearts in one of those two. Well, if you're in Adam, well, all right, there you are. You find yourself there you are. Maybe that can lead you to turn into Christ. But if you're in Christ and finding yourself in Adam in your heart, what are you going to turn to, hon? You're already in Him. There isn't a third place to be. You understand, hon, what I'm telling you is what I'm talking about is serious. Because we're either here living in faith, or there's no place else for us to live. There's not something better going to come along. And the reality of it here we can only live here by faith. There's no other way to do it. Because here, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither can the natural mind know. There's no way. There's no way. And one of the saddest things, and the thing that Paul deals with in every one of his epistles, one of the saddest things is to find a believer here, and I'm using this little symbol, a believer here in Christ, trying to live there, as though he's still in the world. And I don't mean going out and sinning. I mean with his feelings, his senses, his understanding. Trying to maintain his own identity, his own he, she, whatever, own identity, bearing his, the image of the outward here. Without getting mixed up in politics, and all of you folks know about politics out there, but without getting mixed up in it, honestly, but it reminds me of someone from another country coming to yet a different country, coming to America, let's say, and wanting to be here in Christ, because that's good in Christ, salvation, all of the, everything. Man, the riches of glory are here in Christ. It's rather like coming to a different country for all the stuff that is there. But wanting to live in that country according to the standards, the customs, everything of the one you just got out of. This corruptible must put on incorruptibility. As we have borne the image of the first, so we must bear the image of the second. I'm not talking about what you... I'm talking about the male, female, black, white, red, Jew, gender. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about what I'm talking about is the image of you in your heart, in your soul, are the image of Christ. Beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed into that same image. Not he's certainly going to try to draw what that looks like. There is no way you do that. But I'm telling you, it's not about you looking different on the outside, because that's what we try to do. That's what we try to do. Even if we try to get rid of our natural square image here, we do it in by putting religious trappings up on it and trying to make it look more like Jesus. But I'm talking about inward I'm talking about our soul. There's where you either bear the image or you don't. There's where Christ is being formed or he's not. There is where faith is come, or we're still living just, we're in Christ trying to live there just exactly like we were living there before, other than we're not going out and doing a bunch of sinning. But we're trying to live there the same way. Hon, you can't do that. It's impossible to do. I mean, it's not just something you ought not to do that. It's something it is impossible to do. Or not to do. The only way we can live in Christ is by faith. The only way we can grow in Christ, in faith, in grace, in knowledge, in faith. Faith of the Son of God. Well, then we're to the place in our consideration here this morning. Our time is over, and I knew it would be. But we're to the place in our consideration if we can only live in Christ. Now you have to try to get a hold of my terminology here. Christ is in you. Christ liveth in you. Well, what does that mean to you? To the natural mind, it means nothing. To natural reasoning, it means nothing. Because the natural mind and natural reasoning are all trying to get just another feeling out of that. And there is no feeling to it in the natural. That's why so many Christian people, they'll hear the gospel, they'll hear this truth. They'll finally see what Paul was saying. And they want to find a feeling associated with it. But it's not about feelings, it's about faith. Now, to me, and I don't want to confuse you all, but to me it has great feeling to it, but nothing of the natural type. It is an exuberance, it is a joy, it is a peace that is as deep as it is high, as solemn and secure as on the outside things are high and hilarious. There's feelings, there's senses that are awakened, but it's in my soul. Faith. Stirring, faith, awakening. We have access by faith. We stand in faith. We walk by faith. Scripture throughout the Bible, hon. There's no way that you can live in Christ. And I mean you live. Right? Christ living in you is one thing. And we run out of words here. But I'm talking about you. You, not I, but Christ. I know that. I know the verse there as well as anyone does. And I'm not talking about you having a life of your own and you living that life in Christ. But you can only live that life which is Christ in you. The life that I now live in the flesh is not other than the life which is not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul is saying that. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And I'm saying you cannot live in Christ but by the faith of the Son of God. Because your life in Christ, believer friend, Christian friend, is the life that you live every day in this natural body, right in the midst of the world. So, we're in Christ. Let's put him back in Christ. Here we are. We're in Christ. But we're on this earth. We're in Christ, but we're all sitting here in this building. So it's not about that. It's not about the outward. It's about where are your affections? Where is your heart? Living by faith. Is what we're talking about. All right. Let me draw this and finish with it. In our constant. Okay. This circle, let's just call this the collection of the body of Jesus Christ, those who are in Christ, okay? Because it's just one body, not a whole bunch of little ones. Though it's many members, but that's all one body, right? Okay? I want to show you something. Here's what we're saying. Here's what I'm saying. There is only one. There's only one who liveth here. Because this circle doesn't represent a place where he lives. This circle right now represents the one. Now see, that's where our natural reasoning, our natural mind breaks down, and that's where, along with Paul, I have to say, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his body. When he who is our life shall appear, revealed in you, you will understand that you are hidden from the world, from the natural. You're hidden in him. You're in him, and the natural mind cannot figure that out, and the natural eye cannot see it. It'll see a male or a female every time. But by faith. We could say when Christ, who is our life, this is, you know, I read this to you in Colossians. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You can easily say there, and I want to look at that in one of the lessons, the Lord permitting. Is when Christ, who is our faith, shall appear. Then shall we understand our true union with Him. That here in the new creation, here in the new heaven and the new earth, here in the body of Jesus Christ, here in the house of the living God, only one liveth. But the reality of it, darling, He liveth in me and He liveth in you. That's the reality of it. But that reality must be revealed by the Spirit of God. That reality must come from statements of fact to the working of faith. How cometh faith? Cometh by seeing Him. Cometh by hearing Him. It doesn't come off out here in the world. It didn't come out here. Sight and sound connected with the world has nothing to do with it. It is by sight and sound living in this one right here, Christ. Hearing His voice, seeing His face. And faith comes. Before faith comes, we're kept under over here, hon, whether you want to relate that to the old covenant law or the world of the outward man. We're kept under there. Have laws that apply to it, even our society. If you're going to look at it in that way, our modern society, thank God, has some laws to it. But you're kept under. So, whichever way you want to look at that, that's before faith came. You're here trying to figure out something you can't figure out. But after that faith is come, then how come a faith? It comes by seeing Him, hearing Him, hearing the voice, hearing the Word. Faith is the knowledge, not about. It is not me over here in this area, in the outward, and I'm not talking about us over there in sin, but in the world, living there, by the outward, trying to visualize something. But it is actually seeing the one in whom we have our very existence, and the one who is in you as your very life. Then we could just do what needs to be done by and is done by the cross in the sight of God. We just erase that one. And begin to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Begin to live here in faith. Right in the middle of the world. At all times, in every place. At all times, not I but Christ. In every place, not I but Christ. Hon, if that's something that you and I are trying to learn and try to memorize and try to come to understanding, then we better put this picture back up here again. Because that's where we're trying to live. No, that reality comes by seeing Christ. Then, brother, what are we to do? Set the affection of your hearts, your souls, upon seeing Him. That's what we do. That's what we do. We do that one to another. We share that one with another. We share that. It's what Paul did. Forgetting what is behind, I press on toward the mark. That's what we do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right. It's been a joy to be with you who have gathered with us today through the internet. If we can be of any help or ministry to you, please let us know. We enjoy sharing this gospel in whatever form and by whatever means with the body of Jesus Christ around the world. So we thank you for being with us. Let us know how we can be of service to you, and we'll appreciate it very much. The Lord bless. Amen.